Not to be cute about it, but it is CJ and PJ today on Hockey Central. Chris Johnson drops by here in about 4 or 5 minutes from Hockey Night in Canada and the NHL on Sportsnet. And Habs analyst PJ Stock will drop by towards the bottom of the hour. Good afternoon. Welcome to Hockey Central. Jeff Merrick alongside Anthony Stewart and Justin Bourne. And listen, it's really interesting in the NHL right now at this minute because teams are putting players on waivers, and so far eyebrows being raised in Vancouver. Both Louis Erickson and Sven Berchi are on waivers as we speak. Waivers will be a story today very much around the NHL. Meanwhile, Stewie, Borny, thanks as always. Good to talk to you gentlemen on this Monday. We're going to get into it a little bit more with Chris Johnson, but listen, you can't really take much away from the blue and white game on Saturday other than, hey, there was hockey on our televisions again. Stewie, from Saturday, what were you looking for, or did you just say, eh, look at that, hockey's on my TV again?
Yeah, I seem to micromanage and microanalyze these games, especially when it comes to the Maple Leafs. So I was just mostly looking just for the chemistry and seeing how Thornton mixed in with Marner and Matthews and, you know, looking at the mid-pair and bottom-line guys too. So not bad for the first game. I like Simmons' work on the boards, but I'm just worried about now the fit. Is it going to work with Spezza and Barbanov as a fourth line too? Thornton came as advertised, and again, the big dogs were the big dogs, and that's even in a scrimmage. But what I even noticed too is just about Joe Thornton, his enthusiasm. And, you know, normally when you're going through a scrimmage game, I was a 25-year-old veteran guy being like, oh man, who cares? Get me off the ice. Seeing his enthusiasm, seeing it rubbing off on his teammates. So all positives from that game one. But again, it's just a scrimmage and the real thing starts on Wednesday.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, wasn't it? Hockey. It's Toronto Maple Leafs. What do you know?
Do that hockey.
You know, it's a lot of those things remind me of like fitness testing, and Stewie can attest to this, where everyone in the middle, everyone evaluating is just going, okay, well, whatever. All right, this guy did this many bench press or pull-ups or whatever. But you're looking for the extreme guys. Like, I was looking for someone to blow me away or to look god-awful. And, you know, there really wasn't any of those that stood out. Obviously, Pierre Engvall seemed to stand out to Sheldon Keefe in a not-so-good way.
But why? Yeah. Why?
I don't know.
Why?
Lettman got some heat, too, and now he's out of the six. So they must not have liked the play of those two.
Yeah, so a couple of things there for people that are just joining us and haven't been following along this morning so far in Leafland. A couple of things. Pierre Engvall and Timothy Liljegren, two of the more high-profile cuts being loaned to the Toronto Marlies as they get the roster now down to 26 players. And you mentioned Mikko Lehtinen, the defenseman. He's out, and on that bottom pair of practice today, Bogosian plays with Travis Dermott, who's back in the mix there. What's the deal with Engvall? Borny, you've been on the Engvall Express now from pretty much day one.
Well, it's a fair question. I think, you know, some people, some players need the carrot, and some players need the stick. And I think Engvall was in a position where they had high expectations. They paid him some real money. He was going to be a solution at center and a penalty killer for them. And he just, they're not happy with what they're seeing. It seems they think he's a guy who needs the stick and not the carrot, because Sheldon Keefe came out swinging it after the blue and white game.
What do you think, Stewie? Pierre Engvall.
Well, I think that's just sort of an issue with you know, the Maple Leafs now. They're not really developing their mid-level guys. And, you know, you're getting hard on, you know, Pierre Engvall for turning over the puck on one of the goals here. But that's your system, right? The guys aren't just waking up one day saying, you know what, it's time to chip the puck in. No. Let me turn around now and regather and do a regroup here. That is part of the system. So there's growing pains with new systems and stuff like that. But for me, I think they may have paid him a little bit too early, where he got a little bit comfortable. But that's with any young player in the National Hockey League. He's one of those guys. You put him on that fourth line or third line, you let him go up and down the wall, you restrict his minutes if he's not going well, you're going to have a quality player. So I just don't like the fact that, you know, he was a hot topic mid-season last year, and then now he's in the outhouse, you know, a short time later. So the Maple Leafs have to find a way, if they're going to be consistently winners, to have Pierre Engvalls in your lineup, cheap guys that can produce and produce above their cap number. So I don't like him going down, but again, we're not the brain trust, but free Pierre Engvall, as they say.
I just don't know where you have a spot for him right now with this lineup. And the other story coming out of practice today is Alex Kerfoot returns to practice here. On the third line with Zach Hyman, Ilya Mikheyev, So I guess we get rid of the conversation about does Joe Thornton need to go down to that third line center hole. Right now, the answer, no. Kerfoot back with the team and occupying that spot. Barney, if Kerfoot can have a decent season, that goes a long way, does it not? I know it's a bottom six guy, and here you are talking about bottom six issues, but if that spot is solidified with Kerfoot and he's a center more than he's a winger, and some feel the other way, but if that's true, then that does solve a lot of problems for the Maple Leafs, does it not?
Yeah, well, it leaves you with what you feel like is a top nine and a bottom three, you know, because you feel like that line with Mikheyev, Kerfoot, Hyman would be another valuable line that could move things in a positive direction. If you feel like he can't play center and you got to put him on wing, all of a sudden, you know, you end up putting Mikheyev and Hyman back in the top six on the wings where Vesey and Thornton are. You bump those guys down, and all of a sudden it feels like a top six and a bottom six again, and obviously that's a weaker structure. So to me, Kerfoot swings the balance of just how good and how top-heavy this Leafs team is.
Thornton, Matthews, and Marner, Vesey, Tavares, Nylander. We mentioned the Kerfoot line, and then on your fourth line, Barabanov, Spezza, and Wayne Simmonds. Defense pairings, Morgan Rielly with TJ Brody, Muzzin with Hall, no surprise there, we mentioned Dermott, with Bogosian. So does it look slash feel like, Stewie, this is the lineup come Wednesday?
Yes, and I don't really have a problem with that. Barabanov, you brought him over from Russia. You got to give him an opportunity, but he's one of those guys now. After, I think, about five, six games, we're going to be looking at him saying, well, where's the offense? Where's the offense? Where the offense? But again, I paid attention to that line mostly in the blue and white game. It just didn't really have that chemistry. I saw Simmonds coming up the wall, cycling, protecting the puck, throwing it down low to Barabanov, and he lost the puck a couple times. So I don't really see that chemistry, but it takes time. But if you're going to bring this kid over, you got to give him an opportunity to succeed. You can't just put him on the fourth line and say, well, he's not playing physical, he's not bringing the truculence, because that's not his game. He's an offensive player. He can play two ways. So I'd love to see him in the top nine. But with this roster, there's not really any fit. So I think it's going to compound the problem probably by game 10, where they're going to have these guys and they got to figure out what to do with them.
So we mentioned waivers was going to become a story around the NHL, and a couple of names out there from Montreal, Michael Frolik and Corey Perry, Tyler Johnson and Luke Shen from Tampa, Samuel Morin, who they're looking at making a winger from the Philadelphia Flyers, and Chris Johnson mentioning a couple of moments ago on Twitter that Matthew Perreault has been placed on waivers by the Winnipeg Jets. Let's bring CJ in to the conversation. CJ, before we get to things that aren't Leaf, let's start with the Leafs. Anything to take away from you for the weekend, either it's by way of decisions, and we've run through the cuts, and welcome back to Kerfoot in the middle, and Dermott's playing with Bogosian. What stood out most to you, CJ, coming out of the weekend?
Just from the scrimmage itself, or...
There's the scrimmage and the decisions that we saw yesterday and bleeding into today by way of cuts and by way of positioning.
Well, I think it's kind of interesting that the Leafs didn't place Aaron Dell on waivers today because that does give them three goaltenders on the active roster, heading into the season, potentially for their opening night roster at least. And well, I realize that might be, cutting it kind of fine in terms of talking about the third goaltender, but obviously a huge wrinkle of this year is the taxi squad and how teams are going to use it. And, I think it's a reflection of the Leafs maybe being concerned or at least cognizant of the fact that he might be claimed. And so, we're just going to see different jockeying this year. And so, I thought the scrimmage was interesting because we hadn't until that point seen any action in Leafs camp. The big guys all look pretty good, but it's around the fringes of the roster that's going to make all the news in the early part of the season. We've seen a lot of interesting decisions today around the league, and the Leafs kind of made one by not putting their third goaltender on waivers.
You know what? I'm going to hand this over to Stewie here in a second. I kind of looked at that Aaron Dell move, CJ, and said, if Corey Crawford doesn't retire and there isn't that huge need in New Jersey, I wonder if they do make that move with Aaron Dell today. Or was that a sort of wink at, we know that New Jersey's looking for a goaltender right now, we don't want to expose our guy?
I think it's that, and also you have a lot of other goaltenders around the league on waivers now too, and so you're seeing, does New Jersey claim one of those guys instead, right? Because that would probably make it safer in the coming days to put them on there. There's also a lot of flexibility though with this taxi squad. I mean, the Leafs have four players on entry-level contracts on their roster. You've got Lettinen, Barabanov, Sandin, and I'm forgetting one off the top of my head, but they're able to switch those guys back and forth, Nick Robertson being the other. And so you can send them down without waivers. They've also put the likes of Adam Brooks and Martin Marincin on waivers and Travis Boyd as well. So, you know, I think that they can play around with this and make the money work for a little while, maybe keep three active goalies on the roster if that's what they elect to do. But, you know, remember it was two seasons ago that it was actually this point right before the year that, you know, a couple of days before the season was due to start, they lost both Curtis McElhinney and Calvin Pickard on the same day to the waiver wire. And I think Kyle Dubas is, you know, trying to prevent that from happening because, you know, it could be a position of strength for them if they're able to hold on to all these goaltenders.
CJ, all four of the big four scored last on Saturday in the blue and white scrimmage game. Which one stood out the most to you?
For me, it was Nylander. You know, Nylander and Marner, it's sort of 1 and 1A, depending on where you want to, you know, assign that. But I thought both were, you know, made huge impacts in the game. Just looked really good. I mean, I don't know how much any of us should make of a scrimmage or what to read into it, but, you know, it's obviously a good sign that the top lines performed well and that there seemed to be a little bit of offensive buzz to them. And, you know, that's really what's probably going to carry the Leafs, right? Is you know, they're built on the idea that they can come at you with more elite offensive talent than almost every opponent they face, although Edmonton might have an argument in that within this all-Canadian North Division. But, you know, I thought that those two looked really strong. You know, Matthews played well. Tavares scored a nice goal. You know, I think maybe the bigger concerns at this point, and concern maybe is overstating it, but, you know, they had Mikko Lehtinen and Alexander Barabanov in the lineup, and I thought both of those guys didn't do a whole lot. You know, obviously they're coming over from Europe. I don't know where the expectations are, but, you know, I wonder if you know, we saw Dermott replace Lehtinen today at practice, but I just wonder if they can hang on to jobs or if, you know, the push behind them will force some changes here in the early part of the season.
CJ, you know, Leafs aside, today I believe is the biggest waiver dump in NHL history just because of the way the season is constructed. Do any of the names on there stand out to you? And maybe you can tell us a bit about those situations. I'm just looking at some notable ones today. Matthew Perreault, Tyler Johnson, Luke Shen. Any of those names catch your eye?
Well, they all kind of surprised me because, you know, they're players that had full-time jobs last year and you know, you would expect, you know, especially in the case of Tyler Johnson, Luke Shen, I mean, those guys played a role for the Lightning and winning the Cup, you know, 3 months ago. But, you know, this is partially, I think, due to the fact you do have this taxi squad now, and it's a way to make the dollars work for teams that are, you know, in a tough cap situation, which Tampa falls into, as does Toronto, Vegas, you know, even Montreal is pretty tight when it comes to its cap. You know, it was, you know, some surprise, I guess, for me to see Corey Perry, Michael Frolik among the guys Montreal put on waivers. But, you know, clearly those players were signed late just before camp started. I would expect that they probably knew that this was their likely outcome because once they clear waivers, they can be brought up and down from the taxi squad. And you know, I think that it just provides nice depth for Montreal. But, you know, you wonder, does someone go out and grab Corey Perry? You know, I don't know that any team could have signed him right up pretty much until camps were starting. You know, Perreault, I didn't see coming either. I mean, I think we all sort of had the writing on the wall for Louis Erickson in Vancouver for quite some time. He also was found himself on the waiver wire today too. So this might actually be the biggest waiver dump in NHL history. I've never seen the page that long. I don't know how many names there are. And, you know, I do think a lot of it's tied to the unique aspect of the way that the rosters are going to be managed this season.
And if you're a bottom team in the NHL, like, you really have a shot here at getting a player or players off of this. Like, some of your work can be done pretty easily today, CJ.
Right, and we've seen Florida already claim two defensemen. You know, they took actually Noah Juulsen from Montreal today. They previously claimed Gustav Forsling from Carolina. Yep. So some teams are doing that. You know, Detroit claimed Christian Jews the other day. And I would expect we're going to see some kind of claims. I mean, you mentioned New Jersey earlier. You know, they're a natural to grab one of these goaltenders, and if not one of them, then to make a trade or maybe to wait out someone like Aaron Dell. You know, I don't know how much movement, and we've talked about this a little bit, I know in my prior appearances, we're going to see during the year, and I think trades and things are going to be a little bit more difficult to consummate under the conditions this season, you know, is going to be played under. So, you know, this is a time to set things right, I guess, and to try to get everything in place to be able to withstand whatever injuries come your way or, you know, potentially COVID cases and those things. So, You know, it's kind of unique, and I probably should have saw this coming a little bit more than I did, but I was surprised when I saw the length of that list a few minutes ago.
I want to get your thoughts. You mentioned New Jersey a second ago. I want to get your thoughts on Corey Crawford, who called it a career on Friday, you know, signed the deal with the New Jersey Devils and then realized, geez, I don't know if I want to do this, and can never fault someone for making that decision for their career. It did kind of put the New Jersey Devils in a tricky position in the net-minding spot, but nonetheless, your thoughts on Corey Crawford, both, you know, how it's ended here with the New Jersey Devils and a thought on his career as well.
Well, for me, it's a fantastic career. You know, I don't know if he always got his due at a time because he, you know, he came along on a Blackhawks team that had won a cup before he was there. And you know, I think there was almost a perception initially that they were just winning other cups in spite of him being there. But, you know, a step back and a look, you know, properly at his numbers and the impact he had on that team, I think, you know, has changed any of that discussion. And so, you know, my thoughts when, you know, I heard the news first that he stepped away and then that he was retiring is just, you know, a position of empathy. And I'm sure that it can't have been an easy decision for him to reach. You know, obviously, you know, he didn't just talk to New Jersey. I know there was a fair bit of interest actually in him as a free agent. And, you know, I can't imagine getting to that decision would be one that would have felt too comfortable for him. But, you know, at least he steps away before the season starts. There isn't a cap penalty attached to it. Obviously, from a roster standpoint, it's difficult, but they have Mackenzie Blackwood there. And, you know, I do think that there'll be an ability for them to add someone to replace him. So, you know, I think it's probably the best way you could do it if you're being honest rather than just to push through it if your heart wasn't in it. And, you know, mm-hmm. he did have a fantastic career. There's no reason to hang his head. Look, he's had, you know, concussion issues and lengthy absences due to health. You know, I think that no one should judge him too harshly, I guess, from afar, you know, not having to have walked a mile in his skates.
You mentioned the Florida Panthers picking up two defensemen now, and that leaves sort of Keith Yandle, on the outside looking in. So where does this leave him now with regards to his Ironman streak, which sits at 866 games?
Well, it might be ending. You know, at least we're not going to find out in the next few days because, you know, they're supposed to play their first couple games against Dallas, and those are in the process of being rescheduled. So, you know, it doesn't guarantee that he's out of the lineup, but it certainly doesn't appear to bode well for, you know, Keith to continue that. You know, I'd say it's a big question mark at this point. I mean, you have a new GM and a new front office in place. You know, Joel Quenneville, it's his second year, but it's kind of a newer coaching staff. And obviously, when you get that much change in key positions in an organization, you know, players that have been around for a long time aren't necessarily safe in those positions. So, you know, I think that Keith would fall into that category at this point in time, and you know, we still got an awfully large contract. I don't think he's going anywhere, but you know, he might unfortunately see that long Ironman streak end with a healthy scratch at some point here. And you know, that's the way it happens sometimes. I don't know what's best when you play that many games in a row. You know, Andrew Cogliano had his ended a couple years back by a suspension. I don't think there's any easy way to part with that kind of stretch because it's, you know, such a remarkable run to go, you know, over 10 seasons without missing a game. But, you know, it doesn't bode well right now for Yandle seeing that continue through 56 games this season, I'd say.
Chris, I may be going a bit too much into the minutiae here, but Frank Cervelli, the president of the Hockey Writers Association, Frank Cervelli, tweeted earlier today that the NHL has informed team that when submitting opening night rosters by Tuesday, any changes made Wednesday will count as if they were originally submitted on Tuesday. The point being to prevent teams from circumventing the cap by using LTIR, gain cap space. Are you able to help people understand it better than how I just tried to explain it or what effect that might have on some teams?
Sure, I'll give it my best shot. Not always radio-friendly content, this one, but, you know, essentially, you know, the way long-term injury works is that teams are allowed to exceed the cap by the amount they need when a player's out long-term. And so, you know, what teams have done in recent years is submit their opening night roster to get it as absolutely close to the ceiling as possible. The 81.49999 would be ideal because then when you switch someone to LTI, you're allowed to go exceed the cap from that number up you know, let's say it's a $4 million player, $4 million up from there. And so what teams have done in the past is essentially get as close to that top as possible for the first day of the season. And then on the equivalent of Wednesday, they would, you know, switch a player over to long-term injured reserve and use that cap space. And what the league is saying here is we don't like the way you've done that. And so in really plain terms, I would say they're punishing teams that were planning to do that because they're forcing them now to wait till day two of the season before they can make that kind of transaction. And so I don't have the schedule in front of me, but there's probably a couple teams that this will mean they probably can't dress the exact roster they would like on Wednesday, and they'll have to do some cap maneuverings on Thursday. You know, I don't actually know. I haven't done any reporting on this, so I don't know why this has become such a big issue. I could see why it would stand, you know, it would bother the league a little bit, but, you know, it would seem to me that what they're doing essentially is they're forcing you to wait an extra day to make some special cap maneuverings, and as a result, we might see some teams play on Wednesday with different rosters than they would have otherwise.
Okay, and while we're turning people away from the radio, let's talk about pensions. Our favorite actuary,
that was
Chris
great.
Johnson.
Everyone wants to hear about Astro too.
Okay, let's.
What?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, don't say that around Stewie. Really quick, Chris, before I wrap up with you, I think there were some smiles around the NHL world. Just, you know, again, these are all scrimmages, essentially glorified pickup games, but felt good to a lot of people seeing Nolan Patrick score, and it looks like the Philadelphia Flyers, although, you know, Vigneault and Voracek aren't exactly on the same page right now. It looks like the Philadelphia Flyers are in a good position, and even better if Nolan Patrick can occupy that center hole behind Couturier and Kevin Hayes.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a terribly long time coming for Nolan Patrick. I mean, I think anyone would just be rooting for him to get a series of games in a row where he's healthy and has an ability to build up his NHL career, because, you know, especially for someone taken so high in the draft at number two, you know, he just has never really had a great opportunity to build on what his talents because of injuries. And so you're right, that was a good moment. I actually think the Flyers are maybe lying in the weeds a little bit. I haven't seen a ton of buzz
totally.
About them sort of nationally, and when I look at their lineup, I see depth from top to bottom and the best young goaltender in the league right now in Carter Hart. So you know, I think that, you know, they won a couple playoff rounds in the bubble. It's not as though this is a way out there pick, but I could absolutely see them having a great season, and you know, if Patrick can be there contributing, I mean, that's all the better for them, because they've been quite patient with one of their top prospects, and, you know, I imagine it's been a difficult time for Nolan as well.
Absolutely. Listen, on that, we'll let you go. Busy waiver day. Of all the names that we saw, by the way, really quick, of all the names that we saw, and I know Vancouver Twitter is always a fun place, and Louis Erickson has it on fire right now. Which is the one, Chris, that you look at and you say, oh, man, that's going to cause a controversy? Or maybe it is Louis Erickson. Who knows?
Oh, controversy. I don't know. Is Tyler Johnson going back on there? Another controversy in Tampa?
He's kind of already been on there, right?
Right, and he had his name in the pretty prominently mentioned in the trade rumors. I mean, maybe Matthew Perreault in Winnipeg.
I'm weirded out by Corey Perry. What's that about?
I don't get that either. Again, like, I have to believe he knew this was coming when he signed there, but, you know, what happens if someone claims him? I mean, you've just, anyway, it's weird. I haven't.
A U.S. team.
I don't know if there's a controversy, quote unquote, but, you know, I do think now I'll be checking pretty aggressively at 12:01 tomorrow, because I think we're going to see a few claims put in.
You see the controversy, Louis Erickson, I mean, it could get worse. Like, if he's sent to the American League and not the taxi squad, then all of a sudden, boom, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's got to go to Utica, and probably means he's not coming back up, but he's also not paying escrow if he goes to the American Hockey League, so it's not all bad.
Hey, yeah!
he gets the Wade Redden bump, as we used to call it. He gets sent to the American Hockey League and doesn't have to pay escrow, and actually makes more money playing in Hartford than he does playing with the New York Rangers. Wade Redden, you win. This has been great. Thanks, as always.
You got to find a little bit of a sliver of sunshine on a dark day, right?
So. I'm on the bus, but I ain't paying escrow. This has been great. Thanks, as always, CJ. You be well.
All right, boys. See ya.
There he is, Chris Johnson from Hockey Night in Canada and the NHL on Sports. I just want to pick up a quick conversation here before the bottom of the hour. PJ Stock, other side, we'll talk about Montreal. The Philadelphia Flyers, and if Nolan Patrick, knock on wood, is healthy, stays healthy, playing on that line with James Van Riemsdyk and a frustrated Jacob Voracek, you know, Vigneault saying he's got to earn his ice time over the weekend. All of us, like, I'm with CJ on this one. Philadelphia Flyers look good, and they're in a very competitive division with teams like the Boston Bruins and the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Washington Capitals and the New York Islanders, and we expect the Rangers to be better, et cetera, and Buffalo will be better. We don't know how much. I kind of like the Flyers to come out of the East. To me, they look like the class of it. Borny, we'll start with you. Do you have a thought or two on the Philadelphia Flyers?
Well, I can tell you that my financial, I have put my finances behind that, what you just said there. I put some money on the Flyers to win that division. I see it too. You know, there's just so many teams in that division that I have no idea what their ceiling or how good they're going to be. The Pittsburgh Penguins, who they play on opening night, are one of them. Like, that team, if they run away with the division or finish out of the playoffs, I would not be stunned either way. So. Yep. The Capitals are kind of that. The Islanders are kind of that. Even the Rangers have a big range. The Sabres, that division to me is the toughest one to call. The one thing I am not certain of, but I think is most likely, is that the Flyers are good, and that's why I put my money behind them.
Stewie?
Yeah, I think they'll be pretty good, and it's not just because my brother's employed by them, but again, they're built with a good mixture of young and old players. They're solid down the middle, and Couturier, Hayes, Patrick, and Lawton. That's a pretty good, solid group of centermen there, and they always have, you know, Giroux. We don't know what we're going to get out of him, but he's usually good for 20 and 60 points. And the wild card now is Voracek now, and that's one guy where, you know, he's been around long enough. Yeah, he may be not coming in the greatest of shape, but that's one of those guys you leave alone. Leave him alone. After 5, 10, 12 games, he will figure it out. So to be messing with his ice time and getting into a war of words with a guy like that, who's a veteran guy that's put in a lot of good years in the National Hockey League, I don't really agree with that too. So I'd like to see Voracek with a little bit bigger role. Hopefully JVR can bounce back. And again, they got good goaltending in Carter Hart, who's an up-and-coming, young, great goaltender. And they got Elliott ready to weather the storm if Hart struggles. So I wouldn't be surprised if they win the division. They're built to last, and they look like they're going to have a good run this year.
They look good. That right side, you mentioned, where does Voracek fit in? I mean, the emergence of Joel Farabee, and listen, we've talked plenty over the last couple of seasons about what Travis Konechny has been able to do. It's tough. Like, if you're Voracek, like, okay, I don't like hearing that from the coach and earning the ice time and all that, and I'm making 8 sheets for the next 4 years, but it's going to be tough for him to climb up on that right side right now with those two guys in front of him. Carter Hart poised for a great year. We haven't even mentioned Provorov and Myers as your 1-2 defensive. I think of Travis Sanheim and Gustafson, who they brought in as well in the offseason. I think Philly looks good. I really do. I think Philly looks like a really... And the one thing that they do have, finally, we've talked about it plenty the last couple of years, they finally have a goaltender. Like, it's not like, oh, yeah, the team looks great, but can they get a save? And everything gets undone because they can't get it. Philly looks like a solid team. And I'm, Borny, I'm with you, man. If I'm betting on that division, if I'm betting on the East, I'm going Philadelphia all day long. We'll hit a break. PJ Stock will join us in a couple of moments. We'll get on the Montreal Canadiens page, and they made a lot of moves. And they saw the emergence of two young centers in the bubble. But how much have the Montreal Canadiens really moved the needle? They'll open up against the Maple Leafs on Wednesday. We'll talk to PJ Stock on just how much better, if at all, the Montreal Canadiens are. That's next as Hockey Central continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome back to the program, guys. You know, when you have a look at who's on waivers right now, this really could be Team 32, with all due respect to the Seattle Kraken. Just before we went to break, with a quick check at who Carolina has put on waivers, here's a couple of other players, and maybe one of them is put on there very specifically for the New Jersey Devils. Jake Gardner, former Maple Leafs defenseman, Carolina defenseman now, of course. He is on waivers, as is James Reimer, netminder for the Carolina Hurricanes. You wonder, Stewie, if that is a nod to New Jersey and, hey, Fitzy, you want a goalie? Take his cap off our hands.
Yeah, that looks like that is a precursor to New Jersey pulling the trigger on that, too. And Jake Gardner, not too long ago, we were talking about in Toronto, how much was he going to re-sign for, and he priced himself out of the Toronto markets. We all know that didn't come to fruition. And again, we always joke around about it. You know, we can make a waiver wire all-star team. But coming from a guy that has been on waivers numerous times, it's a stressful time because you don't know if you're coming, if you're going, you know, what we got to do now. We got to pack up the dog. Are we staying in the city? So it's a very stressful time for players, and I know they're paid a lot of money and paid handsomely to play a sport, but from the human element side from things, I can actually, you know, sympathize with them, you know, because it's not an ideal situation.
Barney, what do you think about that one in Carolina, Gardner and Reimer?
Yeah, interesting. You know, Gardner more than Reimer for me, because New Jersey needs players. They need NHL players to me, and Jake Gardner is certainly that. The Reimer thing is like $3.4 million. I think with New Jersey, you got to be honest about what are your expectations this year? Are you better you know, better off giving some run to Wedgewood and seeing what he can do for you? Is it going to be much worse than Reimer? It's certainly going to be a lot cheaper, so I'd be more intrigued by the name Gardner there.
Okay, so a few big names on the waiver wire today. Also, Mike Hoffman, by the way, the deal is now complete. It is a one-year deal, $4 million for Mike Hoffman with the St. Louis Blues. PJ Stock joins us now. We'll get on the Montreal Canadiens page. But PJ, before we get there, you really could make a team out of the base based just on the players that are on waivers today. The two we're just talking about, Jake Gardner and James Reimer of the Carolina Hurricanes. Louis Erickson's on waivers. That's raising eyebrows around Vancouver as well. The Habs lose Noah Juulsen. Corey Perry and Michael Frolik are on waivers from Montreal. Both of them just signed about, what, PJ, 5 minutes ago?
Yeah, I know. Well, Corey Perry, the one contract is an easy, it's a nice one, but it's just, you know what, so many of these contracts the last 5-6 years, you kind of just look at and you're like, you know, it's going to hurt. Like, you know, I don't know the general managers, and it probably has been going on a lot longer than that, but I've just been looking at some of the deals in the last so many years and how we value players and what are we willing to pay them. And then you look at, you know, there was around the last lockout, they were talking about, you know, the top tier players are going to make the top tier money. And then they were going to try to eliminate that middle gap of players and then just have, you know, top tier and the lower guys. Every year there's contract signings that I'm like, he's not going to make it to the end of his contract. You're paying, I get him for 3 years, but there's no use paying for what he did before. You got him on a deal before. Why are you giving these guys these deals?
And that's Hang on one second, Peach. The Gardner Reimer tweet from fake Renaud Lavoie. Scratch those two.
Uh-oh, you got had.
Boom. Got nailed. Watch. Waiver's turning into trade deadline day now. You got to watch the fake accounts. Sorry, finish up that thought, Pete.
No, yeah, like it's just so many of these contracts, I'll take away the Perry line, but so many of these contracts, you're stuck with, so no one else will take them, so you have to get rid of players maybe that you don't want to, or B, you got to put these players on waivers and just hopefully somebody else will take some of the money away. There's so many contracts that are like that in the league. And, you know, you said Montreal Canadiens, and we'll start with one name and you guys can jump in and I want your thoughts on it as well, because I'm stuck with this guy. Philip Dano, who's been one of the most underplayed players for the last, but do you pay him what he's going to be worth for the next few years, or do you pay him for how underpaid he was in the last so many years? And that's where you're stuck, you know, because he's probably, for your team to be successful, he should fit in as that 2B, 3A centerman, hopefully with Suzuki being the one, or potentially KK. But do you pay him as a 3? And that's your problem. Or because now Suzuki and Kokaniemi are going to need their money moving forward, and then you're stuck with this. We've given out too much money here. We can't sign other guys. So it's going to be a real interesting, I think, dilemma for the Montreal Canadiens moving forward.
Yeah, so PJ, I'm assuming you're not a big fan of the Josh Anderson deal, who's coming off of 1 or 2 goals last year, obviously in an injury-plagued season. So I'll ask you about that, but I also want to ask you...
Hold on. One goal is a good year.
If that's the case, I'm coming back. I'm getting back in shape. I had to lose 30 for the figure skating. I'll lose another 30 and come back and score one.
Yeah.
But also now, okay, so I'll ask you about the Josh Anderson deal, but what happened with the Domi situation where, again, he went from 70 points, top-line guy, to in the doghouse in less than one calendar year?
Just, you know what, there's a certain style that they want here, and I think Domi, Domi's one of those players that I think thrives. His first year he came in and everything went well, and just the energy in Montreal, as you guys know, like Toronto, we love you when you're going great. But the moment there's a chink in your armor, every media source is on you and things aren't going well and why aren't you doing this? And I think that's what happened a little bit with Domi. I think what happened with him, he struggled a little bit after his first year of 70 points. And then it just wasn't working last year. And just he started to cheat offensively. But you get 70 points and you want to get guys that get points. You know, I'm not the guy to go, but I've been around enough of them. They think they need the points to kind of get, you know, I'm going to get one, I'm going to get two. But really, you got to break it down to go back to the simple things, to play the 200-foot game, build up the base, and maybe the points will come. It's easier said than done, but they want the points. And I think he got a little frustrated. And the way Claude Julien and that team coached last year, they got frustrated with him. He got frustrated with, hey, what? Give me some ice time. What are you guys doing here? Like, and I think it just added and it kind of I think the Canadians are missing a big gap with a player like him. He had 70 points. There's no one else close to 70. Josh Anderson's coming in, and he is and could be. I really liked him a few years ago. He got 27. Why wouldn't you like him? He's a big body. He can drive the net. But last year, listen, injury, whatever you want, but he had my numbers. He had, what, one goal, three assists, and 20-some-odd games. So, and then you give him $7 million. So $7 million for 7 years or whatever it is, it's a crazy contract. But because you're going on the potential, they're still missing that guy that can put up 70 points. I think that's going to potentially hurt the Canadians down the road because there's that down the middle lack of depth that they have, and that high end guy that could get that many points.
So, PJ, there's been some shuffling with the roster since the last time this team played. And if you look at the betting odds, the Montreal Canadiens are actually, the odds have them being second at the end of the year in this division. Do you think they've improved that much? They were 24th in the NHL last year. Do you see them as a team that could be that high up in the division?
I see them, Justin, I see them as a great playoff team. You know, when the referees take the whistles and I see them that way. My question is, are they built to get into the playoffs? So we're going to look around the division. I think, you know, you look around, first of all, I think and someone from Edmonton is going to win the scoring race because they were amazing last year, and they're in a division right now. If you go across the entire group, you know, Edmonton's not a great example, but Edmonton's a poor on defense, Winnipeg's poor on defense, Vancouver, I'm not sure in the pipes, you know, Toronto, question marks on defense. There's a lot of I think this is going to be a pretty offensive division. So the Canadians, everything we do, we all do, is comparables. You know, I don't know who I like more. Do I like the completeness of the Calgary team? Do I like the youth of Vancouver playing, you know, five times a week maybe? Or do I like the offensive power in Toronto and potentially that power play? Do I like the depth on defense? And bigness of Montreal. Every team has a strength, but they all have weaknesses. Montreal on their back end, how much better are they? Every sport, and Justin, you're big on the analytics, it's you buy goals. I don't know if they bought enough goals. Like, they lost Domi, and they brought in Anderson. I do like the Toffoli because he's great on the bumper and the power play. He'll be that middle guy that they've been missing. But I don't know if they bought enough goals to make them that much better in comparison to everybody else. That's my only, I don't know. I can't really tell you. I just think with the Montreal Canadiens defense, in my opinion, big, not the most mobile crew, but big and strong. When they're playing such a condensed schedule, and you've seen it with some of the bigger bodies, they slow down, maybe more penalties. Their penalty killing has not been great. Does that hurt Montreal long-term? And I don't know.
See, to me, PJ, when I look at all the moves that Marc Bergevin made, and we knew like right away they're going to look for a left shot defenseman. Here comes Joel Edmondson, and then away to the races we went, and Toffoli and Perry and Anderson with that trade, and Michael Forlík most recently. I think maybe the most meaningful acquisition by Bergevin was Jake Allen from the St. Louis Blues for a couple of reasons. One, I still think Jake Allen's a really good goaltender, and two, it doesn't mean that Carey Price, who hasn't had a great season going back to 2016. For stretches, he's looked real good. The bubble, he looked excellent. We haven't seen a strong Carey Price-type season going back some years now. The fact that he's not going to have to shoulder the majority of these games might just be Bergevin's most important move. Agree, disagree?
Agree, I guess. I think because you actually have to protect Carey. And I think that's a polite way of you saying that. And I've been I've been on this for a long time, and I love Carey, and I love everything about Carey Price. And this is not a knock at Carey Price whatsoever. Let me preface it by saying that. This is a knock that everybody that's been giving Carey Price all the love that he deserved when he was one of the top three goalies in the National Hockey League, when he won the Hart. You know, I don't think he's done enough to convince me in the last, we'll say 3 years. I can go longer than that if you want. You can look at his playoff statistics. He had one run of three series and only won two. Like, he hasn't, for all the accolades that we love about him, because you look at him and he's so sexy the way he is as a goalie. He's tall, he's calm, puck handler, big body, everything. But the numbers just aren't there. The last 3 years, he's got a .910 save percentage. And then that's not in the top tier of the league. You know, goals against average, I blame the team often for different reasons. But my thing is save 100%. Percentage. And it's just not good enough. It's not good enough for all the love. So, yeah, and he's injury, I don't want to say prone. He's struggled the last couple of years with injuries. So, yeah, you got to protect him. And you also need wins. You can blame the backup goalie all you want over the last couple of years. But your big guy has to be the guy that carries it. And they're going to get a guy that I think has to be in the net for a certain amount. But he has to be also, you know, if Carey's having a tough night, maybe we just say to him, Carey, take a rest. Because maybe he's just not having a good game. The problem was it's been too many. He didn't really want to take Carey out before for a not sure backup. And one thing else I thought about Montreal. Sorry, guys. I'm just rambling on. I haven't talked to anyone. I'm talking to my kids for the last 9 months. The one thing, there's so many great things that the Canadians have done. And you just mentioned Jake Allen being a great one. All the depth on the wings. I mentioned the Toffoli in the slot. Anderson, big power. We mentioned Edmondson. I think there's a nervousness for me, the lack of depth at center. I think Dano, in a contract year, we're not sure where he ends up. Then your next two are Suzuki and Kokiniemi, who are coming off great little bursts during the playoffs and in the lockdown. But if something happens to those three, Domi's not there. What's the stopgap? They don't have a real. I don't know what happens. And if KK plays like he did, if Kokiniemi has a season like last year, everyone's remembering the 2 weeks in the bubble. But if Kokiniemi has a year like last year, growing pains, young, all those things, I give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm just saying. But if he does, what happens? That's why that team ended up 24th. They didn't have the depth down the middle. So it's going to be a real fun year. I love the division. I love all the teams. But at the end of the day, with so many teams being so equal, whoever's the healthiest is going to be the winner.
Give me a health and give me a save. That's what I look for in a season like this. PJ, we're heavy against it. Thanks as always for popping by, bud. You'll be well.
Guys.
And by the way, don't ever confuse us for grown-ups, especially not Justin.
Merry Chewy Born. Bye, guys.
There he is, PJ Stock, Montreal Canadiens analyst. We are hitting a break. We'll come back. More Hockey Central in a moment. Don't forget, by the way, NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman on Tim and Sid later on today on Sportsnet 590 The Fan at 5:25. Do I have that right? Producer Matt Marchese, he'll tell me on the break. Do I have that right, producer Justin Bourne? 5:25. Tim and Sid, Commissioner Gary Bettman is on the program. More Hockey Central in a moment. Sportsnet 590, The Fan. right, welcome back to the program. Guys, we only have a couple of moments. Anthony Stewart and Justin Bourne. One thing we should mention, just cleaning up news from over the weekend, Matthew Barzal's deal is complete with the New York Islanders. First of all, should we be surprised that it took this long? And then two, Justin Bourne, should we be surprised at the number, $7 million for Matthew Barzal?
I guess if it was going to be that cheap, if I were Matthew Barzal's camp, I'd have been pushing for it to just be 2 years. But I'm not surprised that it took a long time. There's a lot to sort out right now in the world and salary cap and, you know, the NHL in general. So I'm glad they got it done before the season. The Islanders are not the Islanders without basically the only player who can play on the offensive side of the puck.
Yeah, and I thought he'd be somewhere. I thought he'd come in somewhere between most of the money and all of the money. So I think he fell into a good number there. But I think the key to that is I believe his QO on the final years is $10 million. So he's lining himself up to make
that actually changed, Stewie. So the way that was the old, but the way that it works now, it's the lesser of either the final number or 20% of the AAV. So it's going to come in at about $8.2 million. That's still a pretty good QO.
Where mine was $800,000. My QO was
$800,000. Big piece for that. That's okay, but still, you're right. It's still a nice chunk of change right there. All right, the Toronto Maple Leafs news of the day. Kerfoot on the ice, third line center. Travis Dermott is back playing defense with Bogosian on that third pair. And eyes are on Wednesday, guys. Bourne, real quick, it's Montreal, it's Toronto. We're going to base all of our expectations on this season on this one game, true or false, on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, whoever wins this game wins the cup. Book it.
Book it, Dano. Book it. We're back tomorrow at noon.